Been gone for 3 weeks, and in one night I get to do both the worship and the sermon. It's exciting. What I want to talk about tonight is why we need to be here tonight. I'd ask the question: why are you here tonight? Some of us were invited to come, and some of us come every week. We come for various different reasons, but the question is, why are we here? When I was out in California for the last 3 weeks, and I noticed some interesting things while I was out there. 1 week on vacation, or 2 weeks on vacation, 1 week for work, but regardless, one of the things I saw was that, well, one, there are a lot of things competing for people's attention in California. They've got so many activities. The weather's great all the time. And people have a lot going on. We have a lot of things competing for our attention, too, on a Friday night. The Patriots or the Red Sox or, a movie, a good dinner. There are a lot of other things competing for our attention. Now, what's interesting in California is the churches are packed out. Like, with young people. It was amazing. I have some friends, a friend of mine just got married, and they can't get a building big enough because all these young people, these teenagers and college kids and everybody else are flocking to the churches. They've got so many other things they can be doing. Why are they going into these churches? And that's what I'd like to talk about. Why is it that we need, as people, to be at a worship service, be here tonight? The answer to that is that, you can flip to the next slide. Simple, but God is awesome. God is amazing. This message tonight may sound basic, but I think this message is equally applicable for those of us who may not yet know God or really feel like we know Him, but want to. Or for those of us that have known Him for a long time, feel like we know Him pretty well. But there's one truth that is unchanging. That is, God is amazing. I had a great conversation with Pablo yesterday. I think it was yesterday, maybe 2 days ago, in her restaurant. She has a restaurant just here in Natick that God has led her to open. It's Central Street Grill, just over the railroad tracks, for those of you interested. But one of the things that I came away with was, as Pablo was describing seeing God at work, she says, God just has me trust Him, and I love to see Him at work because He just, when I let things go in faith, He just answers. And right while we were there, they fixed the windows that have been needed to be fixed for months. But right as we were there, just she was sharing about her faith and about what God was going to do, God answered this prayer, getting the windows taken care of. When I say God is awesome, there's nothing in this world like knowing Him, like experiencing Him. There's nothing like it. I go crazy when the Patriots score a touchdown. That feeling is awesome. But that feeling that we just had in worship, that feeling when you see God answer prayer, when you see the Almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing God listen to you, that's awesome. That's amazing. We need that. In Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 to 46, there's a parable that Yeshua, Jesus, told about this response to God and seeing God and coming in to interact with Him. So if you have Bibles, if you want to turn, you can. You don't have to. Matthew 13, 44. The parable, it's like an analogy. It says, Yeshua says, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy he went and sold all he had, and he bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it." What is this saying? This is saying, in these parables, these people got a taste of God's presence. And it was so amazing that everything else paled in comparison. And it changed their lives. Even we just read Psalm 27 And it says, David, King David says, "One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek. One thing, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple." The one thing David wanted was to be able to dwell in the house of God forever. Yes, we live in a world where there are a lot of things going on that are not great. There are also a lot of things that are great. But in and amongst the things that aren't great and the things that are great, God is active every day in this world and in our lives individually. And so we can live in that joy. We are like the merchant that can sell everything we have to take hold of God because he's awesome. He's real. So, God is awesome. So what does that mean for us? Our response, because God is awesome and there's nothing in this world like experiencing his presence, our response should be as follows. We should want to draw near to him. We should want to sell everything we have and take up that field. Draw near to God in relationship every day. That's what our response needs to be. When you find something so great, you just want to take hold of it. You know, there's an example in Scripture, an analogy where it talks about marriage. It calls Israel the bride of the Lord. It's as if we get married to God. We love him. We want to be with him in a committed, devoted relationship forever. That's our response. When you see the awesome Almighty God, the response is we want to grab onto him. We need to take hold of him. Another reaction is, as we draw near to him, is that we want to make him proud. We want to make him pleased by our actions. Because we love God, we want him to look down on us and go, "Yeah, that's Mike, or that's Phyllis, or that's, you know, Carol." That's, you know, looking down on us and going, "Yeah," because we love him, right? So our response is to stand firm in the holiness that God expects, and also to impact others through the use of the gifts that God's given us. So it's about us and it's about others. And also our response is that we need to grow in faith. That we need to grow in our knowledge of God, that we need to take hold of more than just that feeling. A real committed relationship, you need to know each other like this. And that's what God wants us to do. So that's our response. That's what our response should be to seeing the Almighty, amazing God. How do we do that? How do we develop or nurture this relationship that I just described? I have three S's. This is some sort of memory thing, so you can remember this. First one is surrender. Second is seek the Lord. And third is obtain support. As I say, this is equally applicable for us wherever we are in our walk. If we have yet to say yes to God, or if we have yet to go and surrender to God, well, then what better time than now? God is awesome. And he wants us in his life. He wants to be a part of our life. If we've gotten off the path, this is the time to come back. This is the time to say, "Yes, Lord, I'm sorry, here I am." And if we're standing firm in our faith, then be encouraged, because there's a good reason for you to stand firm in your faith. There's a good reason for you to come every time. It's because God is awesome. So first of all, surrender. What does surrender mean? Surrender means to put God first, to reprioritize. That means to reprioritize our goals and our dreams, those things that we thought we were all about. I was just at this executive training seminar where it talked about what do we want to accomplish, and to be true leaders, where are we going? And what was interesting is one of the key points of life that they talked about in this thing was a spiritual relationship. Outside of career and family and yourself, they said you're not fully there unless you have prioritized things to have God in your life. So our goals and our dreams are very important, but they need to be of a lesser priority than what God wants for us. Also, our time. Surrendering means reprioritizing our time. We'll be here for a few hours tonight. We could be, you know, like I say, doing other things, but we all here have chosen that we want to dwell in the house of God. That's an example of how we've reprioritized our time. That's not only on Friday nights, that's every day. Placing God first. Also, we surrender by dealing with our fleshly desires, whether those things are sexual immorality or gossip or selfishness or any of those things that we yearn for in the flesh that we know are not right. We surrender those. We turn those things over. We stop those things because God is the most important. We prioritize and place God first. That's what God desires of us. That's how we have this relationship. Thank you. That's what I just said right there. Just some examples of surrendering. Look at Moses. In the story of Moses, Moses was this great prince, and then he ended up a shepherd in the middle of the desert. And then what happened? He saw God in this burning bush it was burning, but it wasn't on fire. He saw God, and what happened? It radically changed his life. He left Midian, he left the sheep, he went and ended up leading Israel through the promised land, putting up with all the grumbling and all the complaining and all of the, you know, the Egyptians coming after him, needing to part the Red Sea. Why was he able to do that? Why was he able to surrender to God? Because he saw God. He saw God in that burning bush. He experienced God. And when we experience God, everything else gets put aside. There's nothing like it. That's what Moses saw. Apostle Paul was the same. Abraham left everything, surrendered to listen to God and moved to an entirely new land. Why? Because God's awesome. And Abraham saw it. And so he listened and he obeyed. Matthew 10:39 says, this is Yeshua speaking, he says, "Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Losing your life means surrendering. It means taking those things that were your goals and your dreams and what you were all about and placing them second to what God wants for you. So the first step is surrendering to the Lord. The second is seeking the Lord. And how do we have this response, a relationship with God? First of all, when you seek the Lord, you need to learn about God. You need to learn about His ways. And how do we do that? We need to study the Scripture regularly. This is what we need to be doing every day. We need to be getting into that Scripture. Today I was reading through the Psalms and just seeing David, King David, experience life in the midst of his faith, with being attacked and people coming against him. The challenges of life that we all experience. Now, granted, we don't have people throwing spears at us or, you know, wanting to kill us. Maybe some of us do, but I haven't had that happen to me. But that's applicable to us to see, how do we live in the midst of the struggles of life? How do we know God? How do we deal with God in those things? And so that's why we need to study Scripture regularly. We need to know who God is. Also, obtain godly teaching. There's sermons here, there's other things. We need to surround ourselves with godly teaching. This is how we learn about God and His ways. Also, we need to spend time building our relationship with God. I talked about surrendering our time, reprioritizing. We need to have personal, quiet time in prayer with the Lord. We're all busy. We're all working a lot, or we're all dealing with kids or families or whatever the struggles in our life are. None of us have time to do that. Well, you know what? Yeah, we do. And we need to. In order to really seek the Lord, in order to know God, in order to have that relationship with Him, we have to take that time. Yeshua is a perfect example. Who was busier than Him? He was trying to go and bring the whole kingdom of God to this earth. And He took time. Every time when there are all these people there. And He went off by Himself to be with the Lord. We don't have a better example than that. So I challenge you and I challenge myself. That's what we have to do, is take that time. Start tomorrow, if you're not doing it already. Also, prayer time with other believers. It's critical. Third aspect of seeking the Lord is serving others. Serving others with your time and with your resources. Serving other believers. we need accountability amongst one another. Well, that's a two-way street, and encouragement from one another. Take the time to encourage someone else in their walk. Take the time. That's an aspect of our relationship with God, is taking the time, reprioritizing. And then lastly, listen for God's leading and then obey. That's what Abraham did. It's a perfect example. God told him to go, and he went. Now, some people spend their lives and say, I'm just waiting for God to tell me what he wants me to do. Well, we've already talked about the first three bullets here about what God wants us to do. God wants us to learn about him and studying his scriptures. God wants us to spend time with him in prayer and prayer with other believers. He wants us to serve others with the gifts that he's given us, with the resources that we have, with the time. That's what God has called us to do. But if in addition to that, God calls us to a specific calling to go to do, don't ignore it. Listen and obey. And that's how we experience God. That's how God will be in our lives. That's how we take hold of it, as we do those things and just let it go and say, here you go, God. I'm yours. And lastly, the third S. It's important. We talked about surrendering. How do we develop this relationship with God? Surrendering. Second, seeking the Lord. Third is obtaining support. We're not alone in this. God has provided a support mechanism. In this executive training class I was in, one of the first things they said is, when you set a goal, you need to have a support mechanism that is there to keep you going towards that goal. Well, God knows that. and so he's provided that. So what is our support mechanism? And we need to utilize this. First of all, teaching. We said that in seeking the Lord, we need to learn his scriptures. Well, we have this weekly Shabbat service where we have the different sermons that are prepared. Also, they're on a website. It's rshalom.us in MP3 format. There are sermons on tape. There are some great sermons out there, or even on the web. From different pastors throughout the country. Christian radio, there's AM 590, which has fantastic sermons. Some are not as great, but others are really awesome. Also Christian books, and we can provide some recommendations for you of some really good books. So there are a ton of resources for the teaching that we all need in order to grow in our relationship with God. Speaking of relationship with God, that's through worship, through prayer. Again, we have this Shabbat service every week. I started with saying, why do we need to be here? Well, if we want to have a relationship with God, we need to be in relationship with God. I don't know about with you, but for me, in the prayer times or in the music times, I just really feel God's presence. Connecting with God, and that's vital, and that's here for you. Also, get some worship music on CD, on tape. Throw it in your cars. Don't listen to a lot of the junk that's out there. Listen to that. Worship God. Fill your life with him. Also, there are, I don't know how many of you have heard of daily devotions, speaking of prayer life. But these are books that give you daily reminders or thoughts or guides for prayer time, for a quiet time with the Lord. You can grab those devotions in bookstores, in Barnes & Noble. And then lastly, another aspect of the support mechanism, besides the teaching and relationship with God, is accountability and encouragement. I've said so many times here that we're a community of faith. We need each other. God has given us this community to hold us together, to strengthen us, to lift us up. So we need to take hold of that. You've got the elders here who can pray for you. You've got other believers for prayer, for support. But in order to have that, we need to share. We need to take hold of that. So I just encourage you, and as I do myself, God has given us this opportunity to experience him in this life. Not just, I can only imagine what it will be like, but now. A lot of us have tasted that, and there's nothing on this earth like experiencing God. But we need to take hold of it. We need to respond daily. God is amazing. And we need him. We need a deep... And God desires... This is amazing to me. God desires a deep relationship with us. God desires a deep relationship with us. And we need him as well. So on a daily basis, let's surrender our wills. Nikki talked about in the last few weeks being transformed as it says in Romans chapter 12. That's what we need to do. Surrender our wills. Reprioritize. Place God first. Seek Him first and foremost in all that we do, and then use the support network that God has given us. So my prayer is that we leave here and it be like in California where all those people come in and they feel the presence of God and they say, I don't need to watch TV, I don't need to go to a movie, I don't need to go to a concert, I want to come to this place. Because what I experience there is like nothing else. God is the same there, He's the same here. Our God is an awesome God, so let's take hold of Him. Let's pray. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father and our King, You are almighty and all-powerful. There is none like You, O Lord. We come to You tonight, Lord, and from many different places. But Lord, all of us together, Lord, we surrender. You need to be first in our lives, Lord. We give ourselves to You. Lord, we want to experience You in the fullness of who You are, Lord. And so we desire to seek Your face. We desire to know You. Thank You for providing a way. Thank You for providing Yeshua, who died and rose from the dead so that we might be free from sin and might be cleansed and be able to come into Your presence and be Your children. Help us, Lord, to surrender. We praise You, Father, in Yeshua's name. Amen.